Welcome everybody. My name is Pedro. I'm associated with the Armidale Community Buddhist Centre. That's what you're sitting in right now. This space is designated as that for now. I'd like to welcome Nagpa Karma Lundrup Rinpoche to Armidale once again. I think you've been here twice now.
This is my third time.
Third time, yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been keeping accounts on this thing. Third time.
Yeah, we love having Rinpoche here. Rinpoche is from the Nyingma tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. It's the oldest Tibetan Buddhist tradition in Tibet. And when he comes here, he's very open with his teachings and gives us very deep, powerful teachings. He's very generous with his time and with his teachings, and also avails of many wonderful stories, which is a teaching in itself. And I'd just like to welcome him, and he's going to be talking on compassion in changing times.
In changing times.
You have to excuse me, I haven't had much sleep. my words get all mucked up. So thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. Yes. I'm so happy to be here. I just feel that I'm just one of you. Yeah.
I should say, just before we go, in case I forget, Rinpoche is also doing a program at Vajralin on the weekend in Rocky River. You're welcome to come to that. The Buddhist idea is that we ask for payment just to cover costs and to give an offering to Rinpoche. And we also encourage people to come even if they can't afford to. We can make an arrangement. We really want to give the teachings to everybody. It's just to cover costs. So please don't let that stop you. And Rinpoche, maybe you might say something about what you'll be doing a little bit later.
Yes, not now.
Not now. But
otherwise it looks like I'm promoting my own business or something.
But maybe later, or people can ask you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. So compassion in changing times, isn't it? Yeah. This word compassion, term called compassion, in Tibetan it is two words which is known as nying je. Nying means heart, je means big or the great. So the literal meaning of compassion in Tibetan means big heart or open heart. That's what it means. Do you get it? Yeah. Warm-heartedness, you know, like this, you know, come and I'll hug you. That is the meaning of compassion. Yingje, yingje. Often in Tibetan when you hear a news like, oh, somebody's, say, father died, or if you see a bird striking on the window of your car and dying, then immediately we say, yingje. This is the expression we use, yeah, which is a deep, deep, deep kind of a what you call sympathy or empathy mixed with deep regret for harming that being or whatever. Yeah. Now, changing times, now the time. I believe that we human beings need some sort of a scapegoat to blame all the things that we have done wrong. So the best scapegoat is the time. And one of the greatest Buddhist masters who came from India to Tibet, called Pema Sambhava, he said, time is not changing. It is people's attitude which is changing. Time is just a concept. Past, present, future, just like the colors, just like the directions we give. We name them and then we get fixed onto them, thinking, oh, that is the east because the sun is shining from there. But it has never been an east naturally. It is the name we have given. Likewise, time, we say past, present, time, but according to the Tibetan Buddhism, it is the people's attitude, people's intention, because of people's intention changing, attitude changing, then our actions that we do with our body changes. What we are saying from our throat changing, and what we are feeling here changing, what we are thinking here also changing. In fact, we say that everything is kind of ever-changing, which is often termed as, in Buddhism, impermanent. Yeah. And once you get a good understanding of impermanent nature of everything, then the benefit is, if something really exciting thing is happening, then you know it's temporary. So it's not so that, for example, if I hear very exciting news, I will be excited, of course, but not up to the point that I get heart attack. Or I may hear very sad news, you know. Of course I will be sad, I will be crying, all this. I have to cry, you know, otherwise even if somebody dies, it won't look nice even if I don't cry. So I cry, but not up to the point that I completely break down myself. You get it? So you maintain some sort of a even mindedness. So this is another thing, maybe we got to look at it. Is it really time changing or our attitude changing, the way things changing? And we were just discussing with Susanna, a very interesting thing, it's almost like a joke. Susanna said she went to India and I think somebody talked about global warming, and the Indian said, it's not global warming, it's global warning, global warning. So according to Tibetans' belief also, the reason why there's a global warming, there's war, there's famine, there's epidemics, there's always disagreement and fighting, is because of that our mind, is due to our mind in a way that our desires have increased. Because of our desire and wants have increased, then naturally the jealousy increases, and then the anger and hatred increases, then the I win concept. Often it is very beautifully translated into English as an ego or a pride or something. But the Tibetan word for pride or the ego, and some psychotherapists even said maybe the narcissism is the proper word. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever. The Tibetan word for ego or pride is two terms again, nga gel. Nga means I or me, gel means win or victory, I win, which is another way of saying you lose. Okay? So now His Holiness Dalai Lama has got one solution for all the world problem. Through genuine compassion, through a genuine sense of concern for others, just as we have concern for ourselves, you know. I was so concerned about my hunger, so we went to a restaurant, I'm now happy, now I'm concerned about my thirst. But you are exactly the same as me, you know. You also will feel thirsty, will feel hungry, you know, will feel lonely. Or maybe sometimes too many people, you know, you need space. So we all go through the same thing. You get that? Yeah. What was I saying? I'm sorry, I often get distracted.
His Holiness.
So yeah, he said that the solution for all world problems. Yeah. That is, he says, 50-50. Yeah. 50 of yours, whatever opinion you have, whatever wish you have, I must respect 50 of yours, and you must respect 50 of me. Whatever I wish for, whatever I want, my opinions, my plans. Then Dalai Lama says, where is the problem? 50-50, because both are winning. And there's no loser.
Win-win.
And Dalai Lama says, jokingly, the best is 60 and 40. That is better than 100% and zero, actually, isn't it? So this is such a great, and this is based on the compassionate attitude. somebody like Dalai Lama for Tibetan, he represents, we go that far that we believe that he is the Buddha of compassion in human form. So it's really amazing, isn't it? If we all apply this principle, 50-50, win-win, then there will be no problem or minimum friction, let's say. This is his suggestion. Now, speaking about the compassion, see, look at this weather today. Since morning, it has been very sunny, isn't it? It was shining over everybody. It was shining over, what are the two political parties? Liberal and
Labour.
Shining over Labour Party, shining over Liberal Party, shining over all those who believe in different religions, shining equally over those who do not believe in anything, you know, equally. It didn't make any difference. It was shining on Australians, Tibetans, communists, non-communists, everybody, grown-ups, babies, like, you know, beautiful baby, what's baby's name?
Zafia.
It was shining on Zafia as well. Yeah. So it was shining over everybody. And now you see it's drizzling. Again, it's drizzling over everybody and really blessing the land. You know, and tomorrow we'll see trees more green, air more fresh. And this, if you look in the nature, this is a very good analogy or example for genuine universal compassion. When you speak about compassion, we often speak in Buddhism, and I'll just share the ideas about Buddhism. We talk about limited compassion, and we talk about universal compassion or impartial compassion. So this is a good example of impartial, universal compassion, where you don't make any distinction between people or between animals or between countries. You treat everyone equally, whether somebody is your relative or someone is your enemy. And there's a third category of people we often don't even notice their existence, who are neither enemy nor friends, you know, or the relatives. Of course, we can recognize relatives, and at the same time, we can also very well recognize the enemies, you know. But those who are in between, you don't even notice their existence. So this is an example where you treat everybody equal, irrespective of who they are. And that is called impartial compassion. And other compassion is very limited compassion, a compassion that we show towards our children, compassion that we show towards our partners, and because it is based on our own desire. Yeah, I want to be not lonely, I want to be happy, you know, or I need someone to quarrel with, fight with. Yeah, the least thing, you know, why we need someone. And this is limited compassion because it may change. For example, when our partners meet in the beginning, we are so happy, you know, even few seconds, you know, what do you call separation, it's like unthinkable, you know. Yeah, we eat together, we sleep together, even going to the toilet together, bathroom together, putting soap on the other person's, you know, show, all those things we do. And then slowly then we see, you know, kind of few defects. Basically, it's a defect in our own attitude, we don't see that. Then this list is becoming longer and longer, and then we are coming to a point where now thinking of how to separate. Now it's a big problem. You might have bought a house together, you might have a baby together, you know. Then we think of, and then, I don't know, in Western society, in Tibetan society, when that happens, finally, the couple separates, and then up to the point they become like enemies. Then what happens is all the people connected with the couple also becomes kind of a not talking with each other, you know, not acknowledging each other's existences, not smiling. Really, that happens. And then not only that, we go so far that we even started hating or disliking that person's dog, that person's car, that person's, you know, even beautiful flowers. We see them as very ugly flowers because this belongs to that person that you don't like. Yeah. So this clearly shows that this kind of a compassion or the love is not a genuine love. It's based on our own needs, based on our desire. And not only desire, we get attached onto it. And we are not letting it go, you know. Even though your partner may like to have some free time to see her favorite movie, but you wouldn't let her go, thinking she might go with another man or something. All kinds of fantasies comes up, you know. So this is not genuine love or genuine compassion. The genuine compassion should be like the sun, the rain, and the trees which give shades. You know, you go under the tree doesn't make any distinction whatsoever, you know, who you are. Whether you are celibate or you are celebrate, doesn't matter. You know, it will make you cool and calm under the tree. So if you look in the nature, it's quite easy to understand what is the meaning of compassion. Get that? Then I made some notes here and there. Now, why we need compassion is that basically we want happiness. We don't want suffering. So that is the main reason why we need compassion. And the best way to develop compassion is how to eliminate the two biggest hindrances to the compassion. These are anger and hatred. These are the two greatest enemies of the compassion and the love. And how you do that is regarding the anger and hatred through two ways. One is if I get angry, then what benefit do I get out of that? So the only benefit, maybe I produce extra energy and extra heat. But what is the use of this extra energy? If this extra energy or heat can recharge my mobile phone, then I can see some reason. But so far the energy from the angle was not able to do that. You know, it has no use really. Yeah. And the second, let's see now I'm And then when someone is angry nature or hating someone, not only people will keep away from you, but even in India, even the street dogs, they know, they can almost sniff whether someone is compassionate or not compassionate, whether someone has good heart or not good heart. Even the street dogs run away from you. You get it? Yeah. And in this world, especially in the West, I think one of the greatest problems, I believe, is the loneliness. Because you have done so well with the education, you have done so well with the, what you call, modernization, if I may call it, you know, that there is a sense that we don't need to depend on others. Even among Tibetan refugees, in those early years when Tibetans were genuine refugees in the 1960s, everybody walked on the road, making roads, very, very small payment, but they said they were much more happier in those days. Yeah, they didn't have even enough money to make a nice Tibetan tea by one person, so they would collect money and buy a lump of butter, pure butter. Tibetan tea is mixture of butter, creamy milk and rock salt and Chinese tea leaf. Yeah, you need these four. And then you mix them in a cylindrical kind of a mixture. But now we have switch on the light. And you get to bed in tea. But in those times, you have to really churn. Churn and churn. Sometimes people churn it, have to quite do it quite long. So there's even a song to go along with that. And then they share this Tibetan tea. And then they don't, one person cannot have Tibetans are often in the West, one mistake is think, oh, Tibetans are Buddhists, so they must be pure vegetarian. Everybody must be like the Dalai Lama. It's not true. Tibetans, like Russians, Mongolians, probably are one of the biggest meat eaters in the world. Yeah. So, but they couldn't eat meat by alone, so they collect money and they cook together. And then after they finish the work, they said, they in the evenings they drank this cheap homemade beer called cham, which is made from barley or wheat or rice or millet, corn, basically from any grains you can make. They drink and they used to dance. Then we develop a little bit, and then that was not happening. But still, you have a tea strainer. I don't have a tea strainer, so I'll come to you. Can I borrow your tea strainer? You know, then you may come to me and say, can you borrow some onion or tomatoes? But now we also became more well off. So then, as a result, we think that we depend on people less and less. So there's more and more kind of isolation, yeah. Until it's not bad where I live, but often in the West, I know that often, like my brother who lives in Albuquerque, when I said, "Who is your neighbor?" he said, "I don't know." So this is what happens, yeah. So it's really sad, isn't it? Yeah. Often I thought, "Oh, if there's no people in the world, what is the purpose of me to live, you know?" And the next is, I thought, if there's no food in the world, what is the purpose to live? So we really, right from the birth until we die, we have to depend on others' kindness, others' love, others' time, others' compassion, others' generosity, others' energy, like the baby, you know, the mother, she's you're looking after. We all are brought up like that, our parents. But often we forget, especially the mother, you know, all the time. His Holiness Dalai Lama gave an example. His Holiness Dalai Lama said he was in an aeroplane one time. Next to him, there was a family with a baby. And His Holiness said, in the beginning, the mother was looking after the baby, the father also held the baby, you know, a little bit. Then as it went on and on, became night, and then His Holiness noticed that after a while the father was but the mother was still looking after the baby. Still looking and taking care to make sure the baby is not hungry, not cold, not hot. You know, all these things. And then in the morning His Holiness said the father was still you know, and the mother is still taking care of the baby, you know, breastfeeding or giving, whatever. So, see, this is very clear. Right from the beginning, without especially mother's compassion and love, we could not have survived. But now I don't understand. In the many times I meet in the West, that children hate their parents. So this is something very difficult for me to understand. Yeah, because we don't have such thing in Tibetan society so far. Yeah. Yes, we love our parents. And when the parents grow old, it is our duty to take care of our parents. Like my family is taking care of my father. You know, very happily. And we even thank him. He's saying, please, we are so grateful to you that you give us this opportunity to repay your kindness. I mean, what a good opportunity, isn't it? So this is where I like to really share this. And then we grow. Then we go to school and all. And then again, you know, until you are 18, the parents take care of you. I mean, who's going to take care of you unless both parents die and you're in an orphanage, you know, like that. But still, someone else, we have to depend on someone else's love and compassion. Then we get married, you know, and we are very happy. Then when we separate, when we have no money, no job, where do we go? Most likely we go to our parents' house. You see, there's not much choice there. Then we become sick. And again, we have to depend on others' compassion, others' love. And this is one of the one thing that I often suggest in the West, because often they ask me, how should we approach someone who is sick? And I say, very easy, you know. Go there with some flowers, and if possible, ask the person what he or she like to eat and drink, and cook that food with your hand, you know. And then take some of this to the person and say, I've cooked this specially for you, your favorite meal. So this is what you can do. And coming back to time, since in the West, as I understand, the time is money or something like that, isn't it? So if you can spare time for your parents, for sick people, I think that is one of the greatest expression of compassion in the West, especially. In India, we have lots of time. Sometimes not only lots of time, too many people looking, coming to meet the patient gets tired. And the nurses come and doctors come and scold us, saying, please get out, you're making patient worse, you know. It's too many people and too many garbage and, you know, like that. You know. But here, I don't think this, like, when we, even at the airport, I've seen often in Delhi airport, to receive one Indian coming back from abroad, there may be anything from 5 to 20 people waiting. Of course they're waiting, some half of them are waiting for the gifts or something. I'm sure the other half is really genuine, you know. So this is one thing you can do in the West, you know, devoting your time for your old parents. Then finally, not only we become old, but finally we have no choice, as Dalai Lama says, that we may be failing in our school when we are young, we may be failing in the university, we may be failing in the job interviews, but there's one thing, finally we all get distinction. So when we all get that distinction, you know, nobody had ever failed so far. All got distinction. I'll also get, I'm very proud, finally I will be good in something. And then, there also we depend on others to take care of our dead bodies, you know. Because since we are dead, we can't walk ourselves, go into the coffin or something, you know. Otherwise we could do that, you know. Come back to life 5 minutes more. Please tell the Lord of Death, please give me 10 minutes time. Because I have to dig my own graveyard and get into the coffin. We can't do that. We have to depend on somebody's, again, kindness or compassion. So if you see, right from the birth, until we die, even after death, we depend on others' kindness. Another thing is why we need to show compassion and love and all this kindness and warm-heartedness, not only towards you but also to other people, is that, like, for example, if you pull a single hair, you get pain. If I prick a needle in my feet, I get pain. If I win a lottery, I will be happy. And this is the same for everybody. And because recognizing that whatever you wish for, and keeping in mind that others also wish the same thing. One of the Tibetans asked one of the great Indian masters, what is the meaning of Buddhism? And he said, it's very simple. how would you like to be treated by others? And just do the same thing to the others. This is the meaning of Dharma, or meaning of Buddhism. What else is Buddhism? You get that? So with this understanding, therefore, there is a need to share. And also, compassion is also like if you can tolerate, be patient. Especially, this is very relevant in India. If you ever come to India, you go to a foreigner's registration office, they make you wait and wait and wait. And they will be smoking, they will be drinking, they will be discussing about last night's wedding party or all kinds of things. The most awful thing you can think of, this happens in Indian foreigners registration office. And then you wait. And if you wait long enough, then finally they serve you. But if you get impatient, they will even ignore you until 5 p.m. Then finally you say, "Sir, you know, I need this." He says, "Oh, it's over. Come tomorrow." But then it is possible tomorrow may be Saturday, followed by Sunday. So 2 more days. You may be taking the flight on the Sunday night. So I think Indian police stations and offices like this are a great place to learn how to be patient. Yeah. So now what I do is instead of getting angry at the officer, upset, I just take my favorite book, I take enough food and a big flask of chai, you know. I don't mind, actually. In fact, I thought, I wish it's longer, you know, so I can finish this chapter and the next chapter and drink all the tea, you know, like that. So this is how you handle situations like that in India. And then the universal compassion. So the genuine compassion, usually when we say in Tibetan compassion, it is defined as simjen thamje dewa dandere kyu dang tembar kyu chik. So if you wish happiness and the causes of happiness for others, that is called love. Or loving kindness. Actually, we use these two words together, loving kindness. Then the next prayer is, this is the standard Tibetan Buddhist prayer, Simjen Thamje Dungye Da Dungye Gi Gyudan Telo Gyuchi. May all sentient beings be free from sufferings and the causes of suffering. And that is the definition of compassion in Tibetan Buddhism. Then the third line is, Simje thamje dewa dan dewe kyu da mindelwa kyuji. Dewa simje thamje dewa thamba da mindelwa kyuji. If you are already enjoying happiness or a comfort or a peace or calmness, may you keep on enjoying it. Yeah. And that is defined as joy or sympathetic joy, which means instead of feeling jealous of someone's success, whether health or wealth or promotion or spiritual realization, whatever, instead of feeling jealous, you actually admire and appreciate that person's good qualities and the achievements. Not only you appreciate, but you even wish more, you know, wealth and health and all the good things. And that is called expressing sympathetic joy or joy. Express rejoicing others' success. So this is the third, what we call it, the mental training, or the third awareness that we try to maintain. And the last one is Nje Thamje. Nyeri Chadang Da Dewe Tang Yom Na Tse Me Ba Nebur Gyuj. May all sentient beings be free from the extremes of attachment and fear or the aversion. You know, usually we get attached onto those who we love and we get detached, or what's the other one? Aversion, is that the right word? To those whom we don't like. So may we be free from these two extremes. So we have practices like loving kindness, compassion, joy or sympathetic joy, and equanimity, some sort of even-mindedness. So you have an even emotion, you know. If you hear somebody pressing you too much, you're not that much carried away, you know, thinking, oh, I'm great, you know, because that person is pressing me. Or if somebody is saying very bad things about you, gossiping behind, you're not that kind of a disturbed. In fact, you feel compassion towards such person. It's out of that person's misunderstanding or confusion or whatever that person is going through, that kind of a, what you call, suffering. So you even feel compassion. And that's where I think the prayer is really needed. You know, whosoever is your God, maybe you've prayed to that particular God, you know, so that that person be free from that kind of a mental state. So these are when you really practice well, and how you practice compassion, where to start, is the nearest person. For example, what's your name? What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Amanda.
Amanda, so nearest to you is your baby. So you start with your baby, loving kindness, compassion, joy, all those things. Then, or you can start with your partner, or you can start with your parents. And slowly, slowly, then you extend to the next person, the second person. So you get used to that. Then the third person, then fourth, then fifth, then the whole village, then the whole town, then whole city, then the country, then the world, then the whole universe. Not only compassionate towards people, animals, but also towards our Mother Earth, the Earth, you know. Because this is our only home, really, at least for human beings on this Earth. This is our only hope, only home and only hope, really. So we must feel compassionate towards this Mother Earth. So compassion is not confined only to human beings, but also your surroundings. You get that? And once you're able to extend and cover that vast kind of a thing, then that is called immeasurable loving kindness, or boundless loving kindness, limitless loving kindness, limitless compassion, boundless compassion, and limitless sympathetic joy, and limitless or the boundless or infinite immeasurable equanimity. You get that? Yeah. So what's the time now? I must look at the time. Yeah. So now, and one of the ways to express our compassion or loving kindness is through smiles. But there are many different kinds of smiles. Some smiles are, let's say it says, sarcastic smiles, you know? And like, that kind of smiling. And then some smiles are artificial smile, you know, especially if you go to a shop, you know. Yeah, doesn't mean anything, really. When first time I came to Australia in 1996, I went to this Woolies, you call it Woolies? I've never seen any shop like that in my life. So it just went like this. Really, like, in fact, my friend, Dawn French, in Noosa, she told people, if you want to make karma happy, just take him there, one of these big supermarkets. That's the best way to entertain him. It's no longer relevant, but in those days. Like this, then finally I bought something, and I went out, and there was a young guy, or a young girl, or something, I can't remember. And she said, thank you, and see you later. And I really like this word, see you later. And I said, when are we going to see again? I honestly thought, Because those days I didn't know this is a kind of a mantra here, you know. Today also many people said see you later, and I was laughing, but I thought maybe I should really go back and see that person again, you know. It's a good thing, I mean, at least, even though you may not see that person.
Yeah.
I'm sure that person wants to see me with my money, you know. Then there are some smiles known as a diplomatic smile, you know, which I think all the politicians are really extremely expert in that. I think they can actually conduct workshops on how to have diplomatic smiles. I think the genuine smile is something like the Dalai Lama. Amazing, really. It's often where I live is where His Holiness Dalai Lama also lives. And often he gives teachings, really big teachings. And for us, it's like the God himself is coming, you know, like that. Everybody's nervous and lined up like this, you know. At the same time, everybody's hoping, at least he'll look at my side, my way, you know. And often Dalai Lama goes, he doesn't rush, he goes slowly and just looks around at everybody and smiles. And either he would select someone on a wheelchair, or a baby, or really an old person, or someone with a, like you've got beard, you would be really definitely, Dalai Lama will notice you right away. He really likes people with beard for some reason, yeah. It's true, yeah. And we'll shake hands and we'll speak with you just like, you know, amazing really. There was a time when His Holiness coming, and there were people. This is a kind of a rosary that we use. Basically, we recite a mantra called Om Mani Padme Hum, and that is the mantra of Buddha of Compassion in Buddhism. And the purpose of this is, it's almost like knocking at the door of Buddha of Compassion. It's like knocking at your heart, and almost like waking up the innate compassion. We all have this natural compassion within us. Nobody made it. Maybe our parents made it. But it's naturally there. The seed. But it has to grow. So in order to grow that seed, we have techniques like Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. So many people hold hand like this, His Holiness bless, like this. And one time my stepdaughter, she didn't have any mala. So she just hold it like this. And can you come here, please, Ross? Can you show me? He went straight to my stepdaughter. And he said, take this. How do you feel? Instantly, my stepdaughter's hand became very holy. After the Dalai Lama, when everybody wants her to keep put her hand on our head, you know, the blessing, you know. And she said even after 1 hour she could still feel kind of, you know, that, what do you call, burning? What?
Tingle.
Yes, the tinglish, that thing, you know, she could still feel. And I suggested her, don't wash it for next 3 days and 3 nights. Sure, blessing might go away, or we must save the water from that washing that hand. What I want to really tell you is compassion. You know, compassion. You know, he doesn't know that even the name of my stepdaughter. She has not done anything, any favor to him or anything like that. It's just so natural, so simple, isn't it? So this is, I think, if we all can have that kind of attitude, kind of a warm-heartedness, kind of you see someone, maybe you meet a stranger, but you know that stranger has also one nose, two eyes, maybe may have another finger with maybe another extra ring. Apart from that, we all are same, really, exactly same. So once you know this, then you have some sort of responsibility, yeah? Not only that you make yourself comfortable, like I made myself comfortable, removing the extra cushion, yeah, like this. But also, remember people around you, you know, This is with the older generation Tibetan. They can almost feel if someone is hungry or thirsty or cold.
Mm-hmm.
That is now losing among Tibetan generation in India. It is very sad, really, that feeling, you know, it's not there. But having said that, I've also discovered the young people, often every society classify as bad boys, bad girls, drug addicts, this. But if you approach them, if you approach them with respect, they're very kind also, you know. It is often the society really, I think, overreact and overclassifying or whatever. Really, it's often to do with that. The very kind. I had this experience in Munich. Often I used to get lost in Munich. When I take train, it's my bad karma because often I go without tickets. Never caught though. When I told this story, I found many people doing the same thing. Yeah? I'm not the only one. But often I'm supposed to go to, say, this side, but I just end up on the other end. So then what I do is I ask people. Yeah. So often I wait and I say, oh, he's really in a hurry, you know. She doesn't look that kind, you know. Like, it's all my idea, my imagination, you know. It doesn't say anything on their level or nothing. Then I've started... one day there was one young boy, very fashionable and really, like, you know, looks like he doesn't care about anybody with, you know, this thing, you know, the, what call for this?
Earphone,
or this music, you know, like this. And for some reason I stopped him. I said, can you tell me which train should I take? He was the most kind person I met. Not only he helped me to get this ticket out of the machine, he came with me to the train, he put me in the train, and as train moved, I looked and waved, and he was still standing there, making sure I'm not getting out or something. And ever since then, my attitude towards young people changed. It was just my own thinking, you know, that's what was happening, at least with me. So young people are very kind, but we have to really approach them, saying, can you help me? This is one of the misunderstanding often many Tibetans have in the West. In Tibetan, if an elder person is carrying a heavy thing, it's always the duty of young people to help, carry. But I've done this in the West, and sometimes elder people here really feels bad. It's a way of saying that you're really not fit or something, you know. It's a completely a cultural thing, I guess. Yeah, it's nothing to do with that, isn't it? It's really a cultural thing. Yeah, I came to know, but in the beginning I had really a hard time like that in the West. Therefore, now this is my 9th time to Australia and 3rd time to Armidale. So I honestly feel I'm one of the Aussies. I was even looking at different Acubra hats today. But I thought I should get an old one with holes, you know, to show off, you know. I walked hard many years in the farm and rode many horses, and, you know. But in those days, in 1996, first time I came to Australia, first time to the West, in Lismore, and for about 20 days or so, every day I used to get headache out of this cultural shock. And I used to think, why am I here? Like this, really, like, was so sad. When my friend Judy drove me from Brisbane to Lismore, and I said, where are the people? I don't see any people. Then she said, people are driving cars. So I started checking every car passing by. I could see only one person in one car. Yeah. Then after 1 hour, I started asking her questions like, do you have neighbors? Neighbors? Yeah. It really worried me that way they're taking me, you know. As if people have just left the town and ran away somewhere. It was like that for me, yeah, that day. Then she said, oh, not only I've got three Buddhist neighbors. So one of the first things she did, I was quite happy that where she lives having got many neighbors, she showed me three houses there with prayer flags. Just, see the prayer flag? That's Buddhist. That's Buddhist. That Buddhist. And that time I really cared about Buddhist and Tibetan and all the, now I don't care. Everybody's same, whether you're Buddhist or not Buddhist. When we are hungry, we eat. When we are cold, when we are tired, we take rest. This is all same, you know. So now I feel really one of you. And I also feel much more relaxed, you know, chatting with you or looking at you. In those days, even I used to get so nervous. I said, what should I say? What should I say? Which will please them most, you know? If I say this, it might disappoint them, you know? Or they may never come to my talks, and they will tell others not to come, so who will pay me? You know, all these worries I used to have, now I have kind of overcome that over the years now. And then finally, as the Dalai Lama says, that if you want happiness for yourself, please practice compassion. If you want others to be happy, please practice compassion. Okay? Then, if you have any questions, please ask me. If you don't have, that is the best. And traditionally, I'm not brought up to give talks like this. I'm traditionally brought up as a shaman. A shaman? Shaman?
Oh,
shaman, yeah. My father is a top shaman, a funeral master in Dharamsala. So I'm trained to do rituals and ceremonies, you know, healings, although I can't heal myself. I'm diabetic, I've got high blood pressure, I'm on pills, you know, that clearly shows I can't heal myself. Yeah, but this is one of the traits that I learned from my father. It's a father to son kind of a lineage. So that's what I'm really good at. And I thought if you have time, I brought my drum, my bell, my trumpet, so I thought maybe I'll perform one of the ceremonies that I do, if you like. Yeah. And the best body posture for this ceremony is lying down on the floor and flat. Yeah, yeah, completely relaxed. Even try to forget your name. That kind of a relaxation. Yeah. Just release yourself completely and rest on the floor. But you may sit in any way you like. Yeah. So maybe I'll... Yes.
Move the chairs if you like.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah. Maybe after the ceremony. It's a very short one, yeah? Then we'll... Now let's see, where is the... Yeah.
What's the ceremony for, Chef?
Oh, it's just... No, nothing, just a music. Take it as a Tibetan music or something. I'll do a short chip, but not explaining anything.
No, no, okay. I said it's such a shame my ex-wife didn't come, because she's going through a lot of difficulties right now.
Really?
And I said to her that maybe my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trish. Her name.
What's her name?
Trish. Trish Donald. Because she's going through a lot of suffering with a woman who's really hassling her
house. I will keep that in mind.
But I said also too that maybe we can ask you to do a special ceremony for the while you're here. Sometime.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Should I turn the lights down low or just leave them as they are?
Maybe one light, because we have a baby, you see. Then we make it fun. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's maybe that light off. Yeah.
Which one?
At this on, but those lights you can switch off. Yeah. No, no, this small one. This one. But this the on. That's okay. No, no, that's okay. It's already on.
Which switch for what?
It's already on. This light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, you can switch off those two lights.
Oh, they're all together, I think.
Are they all together? Oh, that's good.
One switch.
You see, even these lights depend on each other.
This one?
That's it? Oh, wow. How did you do that? Oh, wow. Can we do also the same thing? Yeah, that's okay. Leave that on because of the baby. Because of the baby, leave this on. No, I can't see it here. So wait, where's the baby?
Yeah.
Please hold her. You know, she may get frightened with the drum and all sometimes. I will try to play it as soft as possible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
mani beme hore, o mani beme hore, o mani beme hore, o mani beme hore, o mani beme hore, yewandi nyudo danchere zewan rugyo ne doa jigyamale, teye salango barajo mama raninze vende zoa o mama. O mama rane zevende soa timi chive tsema juana te mela tseva meke sewara tone chida bajom chime rende nyado to barasho janju semjo rembo che maye panama ke gyurus keva nyamba meba ya kone kondo pewara jo kanri rave kore shingamzo pendan dewa male jume chere sewa tenzi kyazo ishave sida pato tengero jeti som sangen guru rembo che modu kundan dewa jinde panje kuzen tedun dambo ze sewa dezo shingye china sanwe parje shiwa Samba lenge dobara jinge lo jambe pawe chidara kemba da kundu sambu teya de jende teda kuye jezo yewan teda tamze rado ngo tizom jebe gyawa tamze ge ngwa kala jodo ngapa da jenge zawan digu sambu cheje rado ngo wara gyeon bando sadu samaya manu palaya tenda sadu tinda Anorado me bawa sawa siddhi me varayaka sawa kama suza me chidam chiriyam kuru om ha 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 Bhagavan sarva dada kadam benzam amimit benzam bawa ma samaya sadhu om benza sadhu hunga om benza sadhu om benza sadhu hunga Good morning. Breakfast time.
Thank you very much.
So, Shivani, what's your question, please? Yeah.
Oh.
You know, switch on the lights
yes,
now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're on the floor. Sorry. I had a question about. I just have some very unskillful speech habits.
Yeah.
And I think maybe in our culture too, or maybe all cultures.
Yeah.
It's easily to perpetuate. It's easy
yeah.
to just.
What does perpetuate mean? Increase or something?
Like it grows.
Keep going.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess I was just wondering if you could suggest something that's helpful for.
Mindfulness. Mindfulness. what's the term for your secret agency in the cultist, SBS or something?
ASIO.
So part of your mind be your own ASIO.
Yes.
Watching you. We all need ASIO, not the government. Only we all need. So be this ASIO, part of your mind, watching your mind. What you're doing with your physical body, what you're saying from your throat, your tongue, what you're feeling here, what you're thinking here. So mindfulness. This is not only a kind of a Buddhist business, but it's relevant to everybody, this mindfulness. And what we have to be mindful about is whatever we do with our body, say from here, feel here, think here, is not harming ourselves, is not harming others, least. And if possible, it should be benefiting you, making you more happy, more, trusting yourself more, and also making others more happy, more comfortable, you know, so they all feel at ease with you, and you feel at ease with others. So this mindfulness, we all need ASIO or the speed camera, somewhere.
Speech camera,
in this case, speech camera, that's so mindfulness, very relevant. Day, night,
yes.
Mindful. Like, you know, this is your own ASIO. You don't have to pay for that since it's part of your mind. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other question? Okay, I see some people yawning, and I also feel like yawning. So now I have few Tibetan children needing sponsors. It's $300 per year. And if anyone interested, please come here. I have the photos with biodata, or profiles, as we say these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also got my card, business card, if you want to have my website or address or something. So please feel free to come here, or if you have any personal things that you want to tell me quietly, I'm willing to listen to you. And thank you for coming. Please take good care of yourself. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your wonderful talk. Yes, sorry, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you talk a little bit about what you're going to be teaching over the weekend?
Over the weekend, I'll be basically teaching to help you to see or recognize who you are. Basically, to help you to be able to discover your fundamental nature, your basic goodness, you know, what in Buddhism we call it your Buddha seat. This is just a term to express that whatever it is. So this is what I'm going to share with you. And it's called Dzogchen. That is the term, which literally means the great completion or the great perfection. What it really means in simple word is we are all already good person, you know. There's no need to feel incompleteness or lacking something. Our fundamental goodness, our basic mind has been, always will be still, it's like the full moon. It has been always full. Why we see it's waning or waxing is our own perception, our own attitude, you know, depending on how much confusion we have. How cloudy the sky is, that much blue sky we see, isn't it? But that doesn't mean blue sky is not there when it's cloudy. It's still there, it is just obscured temporarily. So that's what is happening with us now. We are temporarily obscured by our emotional cloud. And that will go by itself. We don't have to push the clouds. You know, it will take care of itself. We just have to let them be as they are. You know, you don't have to press them, criticize them, Let them be as they are, and they'll take care of themselves. And the same blue sky, again we see, like that, our fundamental nature is like ever shining bright sun. If it's not sunny, it's not the fault of the sun, it's just again the clouds. Understand? So this is basically, in simple words, what I'm going to share with you with this Tibetan so-called Vajrayana or the Dzogchen different techniques. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what is your mind. I'm going to share with you the different techniques that you apply to discover yourself and feel good about yourself, you know. There's no need to feel poor me, you know. We are not poor, we are very rich. Yeah. We've been always like this full moon, right from the beginning. Yeah, there's no need to feel lacking, you know. We're not lacking anything, really. Yeah. Understand? So this is basically what I will be doing for next 2 days. So that what I call it, instilling inner confidence in people. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your talk, and
yes.
Thank you for the lovely ritual at the end.
Yes.
It was wonderful. And please, everyone, stay. There's coffee and tea, and there's some food to share, so please stay for as long as you wish. Enjoy each other's company and commune with your neighbour.
And Saturday and Sunday isn't here.
It's at Vajralinga Gompa in Rocky River. If you need instructions, you can see me, or Ross knows where it is, Paul knows where it is, anyone else know? You know where it is. So if you're interested, please come and see us and have a chat with us about it. And thank you.
Thank you very much.